on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donald Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Taoiseach says he would prefer not to go down the route of mandatory vaccinations. The issue is being discussed by NPHET and the Department of Health. It comes as the number of people in hospital with COVID-19 has surpassed 1,000 for the first time since February of last year. Secondary school students and their teachers are calling on the Department of Education to provide details on how this year's Leaving Certificate exams will go ahead. North of the border in the Assembly, Westrone MLA Daniel McCrossan has denied a motion to recall the Assembly today to discuss school safety in light of COVID-19 was politically motivated. And Liz Truss is meeting with the DUP in Sinn Féin. Later in the bulletin, Oisin is here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with the comments of Taoiseach Micheál Martin this evening that he would prefer not to go down the route of mandatory COVID-19 vaccinations. The issue is being examined by the Department of Health after it was discussed by NPHET. A number of countries have considered making COVID vaccination mandatory for some professions. Micheál Martin says it's not a way he wants to go.
NPHET will examine every issue so that it can give advice to government from time to time. I've been very clear that I favour the voluntary approach to vaccination. And in fact, we've done extraordinarily well as a country in terms of 94% vaccination rate of the first and second dose, and even 63% of the booster were top of the European League table.
Well, the number of people in hospital with COVID-19 surpassed 1,000 overnight for the first time since February of last year. 1,063 people in hospital with the virus today, 89 of them in ICU. As of 8 o'clock last night, Letterkenny University Hospital was dealing with 72 infectious cases, the highest number in the country, two of those in ICU. Nationally, 51% of those being treated in intensive care are unvaccinated, and the HSE's Chief Executive Paul Reid says that is a striking figure.
The vast majority of patients in ICU are over the age of 18, and if you look at the vaccinated population over the age of 18, it is just about 5.5% who have not had their vaccines. You know, from a 5.5% population, over 50% in ICU, and it's striking.
Well, secondary school students and their teachers are calling on the Department of Education to provide detail on how this year's Leaving Cert will go ahead. Traditional state exams are scheduled for the summer, but some are concerned that staff shortages and school closures will impact on results. With more detail, here's Michelle Cleary.
Pressure is mounting on the Minister for Education to provide clarity on how this year's Leaving Cert exams will go ahead. The Irish Secondary School Students Union is concerned the curriculum isn't being covered due to absences. Eimear Neville is the president.
A 6-year in Wexford got in touch and told us that their very first music class back to school, there were only 5 students in it, no teacher, no work left for them to do, and that's the reality for hundreds.
But the TUI's Michael Gillespie believes traditional exams can go ahead and says political parties calling for an alternative are unhelpful.
This is the third day of the second term. Don't want any knee-jerk reactions to education. There's lots of things you can do to modify the exam papers.
The department has confirmed that extra question options will be available on the papers in recognition of the lost time caused by the pandemic.
West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan has denied that a motion to recall the Assembly today to discuss school safety in light of COVID-19 was politically motivated because Education Minister Michelle McElveen is a DUP representative. Mr McCrossan, the SDLP's education spokesperson, was speaking in the Assembly this afternoon. He told members he wrote to Minister McElveen before the end of term suggesting measures to allow schools to reopen safely and says he consistently highlighted the concerns of parents and school staff. He says today's recall motion was moved solely to ensure that those issues are fully explored.
Mr. Speaker, I have to say at the outset, I am extremely disappointed at how this debate has went. We are talking about children and young people and their education and teachers and classrooms and all of the things that are so very important at this time. And we're accused of signing a pan-nationalist motion. Well, just for the member's record, Mr. Speaker, all children in Northern Ireland are affected. All teachers, all schools, doesn't matter what walk of life. So don't try and turn something as fundamental as children's education into a sectarian argument or bun fight, because that is not what this is. This is about children's education and protecting them. And I think that message needs to be rung very, very hard in this House. How dare anyone accuse me of signing a pan-nationalist motion? It's totally offensive, Mr. Speaker, and I don't accept it. I'm sure others across these benches don't accept it either. Mr. Speaker, I signed the recall motion to bring the Assembly back today, as we've been highlighting for months
highlighting for months that there has been a severe lack of planning and action taken to ensure our classrooms and schools are safe for reopening after the holidays. We have warned about that consistently at the Education Committee, in this House, and through various correspondence with the Minister. It is vitally important that our schools are kept open. No one in this House disagrees with that. Up until now, Mr. Speaker, many principals from across the North do not believe that it is safe, and we've seen cohorts of children move to online learning due to the significant concerns expressed over the threat of the Omicron variant in our schools. These concerns have gone largely unnoticed by the Department and the Minister, because I feel that I am constantly repeating and repeating and repeating the need for an action plan, for decisive action and for leadership to ensure that schools can stay open and be safe.
And that was Daniel McCrossan speaking in the Assembly earlier today. The full submission from Mr. McCrossan available on our website, highlandradio.com. Well, staying with the executive, and discussions are being held this evening between the UK's chief Brexit negotiator and the leaders of the DUP and Sinn Féin. Liz Truss has indicated a willingness to trigger Article 16 if issues around the Northern Ireland Protocol aren't resolved. The DUP has paused threats to withdraw ministers from Stormont ahead of the meeting with Liz Truss. However, Alliance leader Naomi Long says removing ministers would not be an effective strategy.
And I have to say, collapsing the Assembly will not affect the protocol. The protocol will continue to be implemented because that's the law. And until such times as the law changes, and until such times as those who want the protocol changed can agree those changes with the EU, that will remain the position, whether there's an Assembly or not.
A woman who'd been missing from the Ballybofey area has been located. Gardaí and the family of 25-year-old Adele McGurr had expressed concern for her welfare. That search has now been stood down. Gardaí have thanked all those who helped for their assistance in the matter. A planning application has been submitted for a major new innovation and business centre in Letterkenny. The proposed development would see the construction of a new multi-storey building on Pierce Road at the site of a former ESB premises. With more detail, here's Trish Lafferty.
Plans have been submitted by Donegal County Council in partnership with Donegal 2040 Strategic Development Designated Activity Company for the construction of the Alpha Innovation Centre and the Beta Business Centre. The Council has already secured funding of €3.7 million to establish the Alpha Innovation Centre, a low-carbon enterprise campus in Letterkenny's Enterprise Quarter. It's proposed to demolish the former ESB retail and office premises to make way for the major development. Once completed, the buildings will provide office and research and development accommodation facilities, public realm and parking. Plans are available for viewing until Monday, January 24th. Submissions and observations can be made in writing to the County Secretariat, Donegal County Council, Lifford, before 5pm on Tuesday, February 8th.
Well, Donegal County Council is being urged to put a time frame in place for temporary and permanent housing to meet the demands on housing in Letterkenny arising from the mica crisis. Councillor Jerry McMonagall will bring a motion before tomorrow's sitting of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District to address what he says is the rising pressure on housing and the need to rehouse families until remedial works are conducted on their affected properties. He's urging the local authority to look outside its own resources and plans to try and find a solution both for the short and for the long term.
I don't believe that the council are focused enough on this, and I don't believe that they have put enough resources into meeting the growing demands for people whose houses are affected by mica and need to be moved out of their homes so that the necessary remedial works can be carried out. So what I'm wanting to do is that we as a council would discuss this, and that we would get the executive of the council a time frame plan where either they're going to build new houses or acquire land where they can put the likes of demountable type buildings that will facilitate the families that have to move out of their homes so that they can be repaired.
And indeed, in your proposal to council, you've also mentioned perhaps options both within the council's resources but also from the private sector. So would you call for a mixed approach from the council, not only planning within Donegal County Council and using resources that are within it, but also putting tenders out to the private sector to see if there's an appetite for building both permanent homes but also the temporary homes that will be required in the years ahead?
Yeah, and to date, Daniel, we haven't had from council any plans or indeed any suggestions that they are looking out into the private sector. I certainly don't believe that our permanent house building programme is going to meet the growing demands on the mica houses in particular, the ones in social housing, and indeed the private housing stock. We just haven't got the houses available to move these families into. So I think it's time that the council got their finger out here, and it's time that we started looking at all the options that are open to us.
Councillor Gerry McMonagle there speaking to Daniel Brennan. It's emerged the Red Cross has been deployed to assist the National Ambulance Service in Donegal. The additional support's been drafted in response to challenges caused by the ongoing COVID-19 surge to help in patient transportation and transfers. The organisation is also providing assistance in Dublin, Cork, Naas, Tipperary, Cavan and Limerick and is coordinating with the Order of Malta and St John Ambulance. The Red Cross say they expect the service to be extended to other counties in the coming weeks. There's been a 29% increase in the number of tests conducted by Gardaí in Donegal for drink and drug driving. The number of tests conducted by Gardaí nationally was up 23%, as Adrian Harmon now reports.
According to the Medical Bureau of Road Safety's annual report for 2020, 337 blood and urine specimens were taken by Gardaí in the county, the third highest figure in the country compared to 262 samples processed the previous year. Across the county, there's been a 23% increase in specimens received by the Bureau for Intoxicant Analysis, with a 39% increase in samples forwarded for drug testing. Professor Dennis A. Cusack, Director of the Medical Bureau of Road Safety, says despite the COVID pandemic, the work of the Bureau increased substantially in 2020 and continued to operate at the same higher level into 2021. The report shows cannabis to be the most prevalent drug detected in motorists, while 25 to 34-year-olds continue to contribute to the greatest percentage of drivers arrested on suspicion of drink or drug driving.
A Donegal deputy claims the government is not protecting businesses and is allowing taxpayers to subsidise the insurance industry. Last year, Minister of State Sean Fleming warned insurance companies who deducted state supports paid to businesses from valid claims under their policies would not be let off the hook. However, Deputy Piers Doherty says the minister has rolled back on that promise. He says the intention of pandemic supports was not to line the pockets of the industry.
What the insurance industry are trying here and what they're getting away with because the government are allowing them is absolutely scandalous. The year before, we passed legislation to support employers who, as a result of the pandemic, who were forced to close down or restrict their operations, and that came in the form of wage subsidy schemes to support their staff, to support their operation. But what we now find out is that those who had insurance, that the insurance companies are deducting those supports that were given to these employees. And basically the insurance companies are now pocketing those supports. That was never the intention. It was never the intention to that these schemes, taxpayers' money during the pandemic, was to line the pockets of the insurance industry, an industry that made over 120 million euro profit in 2020. And I expect that their profits for last year would have increased further again. So the government has to stop pussyfooting to this sector. They have come out last year and said that they wouldn't get away with it, that they were going to stop it. But now the minister has said clearly today that he is going to do nothing about it. And that is simply not acceptable. And we have to remember, when the pandemic unemployment payment was brought in, it was untaxable because it was people who lost their jobs as a result of the pandemic. The government decided to go back in time and decide retrospectively to tax those payments. It's a pity that they wouldn't take the same approach to the insurance industry that they took to the unfortunate people who lost their job in the middle of the pandemic.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
17 minutes past five. Good evening, Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with tennis. Novak Djokovic's family believes he's registered the greatest one of his career after successfully appealing against being deported from Australia. But the defending Australian Open champion, who's unvaccinated against COVID, could have his visa cancelled again by the country's immigration minister. Pictures have also emerged suggesting that the player met fans after testing positive in Serbia last month. However, his brother, Georgia, wasn't keen to answer questions about it.
The whole process was public, and all the documents that are public are legal, so...
Was he out of the fence on the 17th of December?
Okay, so this press conference is adjourned.
Well, Djokovic hasn't said if he knew he was positive when he met those fans. Cross-channel football, Ralf Rangnick wants his Manchester United players to show improvement on recent performances tonight. They host Aston Villa in round three of the FA Cup. It's United's first game since a disappointing Premier League defeat to Wolves last week. Interim boss Rangnick believes they have more work to do in order to progress.
We have made some progress, but obviously the game against the Wolves was, again, a step back. It was maybe even a relapse to habits that the team has shown in the past.
Well, Aston Villa boss Steven Gerrard claims a good cup run can only be positive for his squad. Gerrard says he wants to transform Villa into one of the top teams in the country.
I think everyone understands that won't happen overnight, but a good positive cup run can breed confidence and belief. Of course it can, especially if you can qualify through a round when you face Manchester United at Old Trafford.
Kick-off at Old Trafford tonight is 5-8. Middlesbrough do, of course, await the winners in the next round. An injury time penalty from Sadio Mane has seen Senegal open their African Cup of Nations campaign with a win. They beat Zimbabwe by a 2-0 with the penalty awarded following the intervention of VAR. The weekend proved to be a highly successful one for Derry GAA with two provincial titles won. Banagher were the first to get a result, winning the Ulster Intermediate Hurling Final on Saturday. Then on Sunday, Steelstown claimed the Ulster Intermediate Football title. They beat Moortown of Tyrone by 2 points in Owen Beg. Steelstown manager is Hugh McGrath.
What a bunch of lads, unbelievable. Anything we've asked them to do all year was done. Nobody fancied them to go anywhere in this competition. I think Paddy Parr's very upset tonight because he had us at 41. The starting team's plenty of men on it. All that aside, for football in the city, for football in Steelstown, for football in Derry, this is superb. This is great. We need to see a kick on, not just from us, but from the other teams in and around us as well.
And you can hear more from Hugh McGrath. It's available in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Finally in snooker, John Higgins moved into the quarterfinals of the Masters with a 6-2-1 over UK champion Zhao Xingtong at Alexandra Palace today. He will now take on Mark Williams in the next round. Later this evening, Sean Murphy takes on Barry Hawkins. That's your sport, Donal. Back with more tomorrow morning.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. Health and safety concerns have been raised over boardwalks in Donegal. Councillor Micheál Cullum-Glasbeg is calling for safety audits to be carried out on boardwalks across the county. He claims the wooden structure on some boardwalks has deteriorated in recent times. Councillor McGlasbeg says urgent checks are required on a county-wide scale to avoid any potential injury being caused.
A good number of years ago, during the so-called Celtic Tiger, the council installed many boardwalks around the coastal communities to make it more accessible to go across land or access some of our beautiful beaches. Now, over the years, obviously, the timber has deteriorated and we've seen a good number of these boardwalks having to have repair works carried out in them. But the reality, I think, is that a lot of the boards underneath are starting to rot away. We've seen it in a number of places, in the Rosses and Gador and other places. So I believe that it's really important that the Donegal County Council carries out a safety audit ASAP, if possible, and not to put it on the long finger in the interest of health and safety, because the last thing we want to do is anybody going down towards the beaches using the boardwalks and a board or two gives way and somebody finds themselves having a serious accident. So what I would like to see is that the Donegal County Council would now start to engage with the local community, because most of these areas where the boardwalks are, they've been maintained either by the local community or else the council. And I'd like to give recognition to the council in terms of the environment section and over the years in terms of any time you ring in, they do act immediately. But that all said, there needs to be an audit done on them, a safety audit done on them, and we need to figure out where then we're going to get the money to upgrade what needs to be upgraded in the interest of health and safety.
Concerns have been raised once again over sheep worrying in Donegal. Annually during lambing season, farmers fear for the safety of their flocks. Councillor Michael McClaverty says there is heightened alarm, however, over dogs straying from owners while out walking. He's urging dog owners to be more responsible.
The problem is here anyway at the minute. There's dogs been either going out without leads or on leads and then let off the lead, and the dog's running on and the dog's jumping into the fields, so on, and it's starting to chase sheep. It's worrying sheep. There's a local farmer here at the minute on the fire here at the minute with some dogs that are having a problem with some dogs. And normally this would come up with dogs, somebody's dog has left house, wandered away, a roaming dog. This is not roaming dogs, just to make that clear. This is a few dogs that are being, all I can say is the owners are being irresponsible. They're letting the dogs do us a wash, and they don't realise the danger, or they don't see the significance of the dog jumping into a field and chasing sheep. And this is only going to lead to one thing. It's going to lead to eventually, first of all, it's going to lead to the sheep these days at the minute, if they've been chased aborting lambs, possibly getting hurted as well. For example, if a dog jumps into the field, the sheep's going to panic, the sheep's going to run. They may well race themselves against the fences. They could end up with injuries, damage. And eventually it will lead to death, as I said there. The farmer in particular that's contacted me to raise this issue, he's lost sheep last year, he's lost sheep the year before, and he feels the same situation is going to happen again in the coming days if something doesn't be done, and he doesn't want that to be the case. And just appealing to all dog owners, whether you're exercising your dog or whatever the case may be, let it be in the beach, let it be in the park, up a back road, as I say, have your dog in the lead, and if you're not going to have him in the lead, have him close beside.
Councillor Michael McClafferty there. Well, the forecast will be cloudy this evening with patchy outbreaks of light rain and drizzle. Drier and cooler conditions in the west will extend across the region this evening. Light to moderate westerly winds. Mostly dry tonight with any rain clearing early in the night. A few patches of mist and fog may develop. Lowest overnight temperatures -1 to +3 degrees Celsius in a patchy frost. Light and variable winds. Dry and bright tomorrow with long spells of sunshine in most areas. Just the odd shower near the coast later in the day. Highest temperatures on Tuesday 7 to 9 degrees Celsius with light south to southwest. West breezes. Main stories in brief. The Taoiseach says he would prefer not to go down the route of mandatory vaccination. The issue is being examined by the Department of Health after it was discussed by NPHET. The number of people in hospital with COVID-19 now surpassing 1,000. However, the number in ICU remains under 100. It's now 89. Westra own MLA Daniel McCrossan has denied a motion to recall the Assembly today to discuss school safety in light of COVID-19 was politically motivated because the Education Minister Michelle McElveen is a DUP representative. Meanwhile, discussions are being held this evening between the UK's chief Brexit negotiator and the leaders of the DUP and Sinn Féin to discuss the Northern Ireland Protocol. Liz Truss has said she will trigger Article 16 if the issues aren't resolved. And a woman who'd been missing from Ballyfae overnight has been located safe and well. Back with more at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 10th of January. The death has taken place of Rosaline McCool, formerly of Backshore Road, Coolmore, Derry. Rosaline's remains are reposing at her son Michael's residence at Kilderry Lane, Muff. Requiem Mass will be celebrated in the Church of the Sacred Heart, Ardmore, Muff, on Wednesday morning at 11, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of John Quinn, Kingarrow, Fintown. John will repose at his home from 6 o'clock this evening. The house is private, please. Funeral Mass at 11 tomorrow morning in St. Columbkill's Church, Fintown, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Chalk Pubble Columbkill Naofus Facebook page. The death has occurred of Patrick Lynch, Mahara Beg, Burnfoot. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Removal on Wednesday morning at 20 past 10 to St Mirren's Church, Fawn, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Patrick's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to care of the aged, care of any family member, or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of John Dunn, 8 Ashley Close, and formerly of High Road, Letterkenny. John's remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, followed by burial in Conwall Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Wake private, please, to family, neighbours and friends. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Hillcrest Nursing Home Comfort Fund. Care of any family member. The death has occurred of Patricia Ward, Glenview, Ardra. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, for funeral mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the family plot in Glenties Cemetery. The house is strictly private, please, at the request of the deceased. The death has taken place of Peter Watson, 8 Figgery Heights, Fawn. His remains will repose at Murphy's Funeral Home until 6 o'clock this evening. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Peter's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Buncrana Community Hospital, care of any family member, or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Paddy McNamee, 8 Collins Walk, Strabane. Funeral from his home tomorrow morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. The house is private, please, to family and friends only. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. And the death has taken place of Bernadette McConway, Lima Crossan, Quigley's Point. Bernadette's remains are reposing at her son John and daughter-in-law Catherine's home in Lima Crossan. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Columba's Church, Drung, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on MCN Media. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.